Kingston will have some creepy visitors this weekend in the lead-up to Halloween, with the Creepy Doll Museum making a stop at the Broom Factory. After 6 years of sold-out shows in Peterborough, Toronto, Ottawa, and Prince Edward County, the Creepy Doll Museum is bringing its collection of nearly 200 dolls to Kingston for the first time. Creepy Doll curators Catherine Behun and Ben Hatcher, the pair who started it all 6 years ago, shared with CFRC how the collection began and grew into a touring museum. Well, to start us off, for those who haven't met you guys, I'm wondering if you'd like to introduce yourselves and share a bit about how the Creepy Doll Museum all began.
Sure. My name is Catherine Behun.
And I'm Ben Hatcher, and we are the co-curators of the Creepy Doll Museum, which, as far as we know, is the first and only Creepy Doll Museum in the world.
I'll share how it started. So I was at a yard sale in Peterborough that's known as like this whole street yard sale. And someone was selling their doll collection, parts of their doll collection. And I bought a few for myself that I thought were very enchanting looking, which translates to be creepy. Big foreheads, frosted eyes, and things like that. And it was Ben's birthday that weekend as well. So I thought, I'm going to get one for Ben and bring it to him for his birthday. He loved it, obviously, the creepiness. Then we just, every time we ran into each other at social settings, we just kind of joke about the creepy dolls. And anytime I'd go thrifting, I would continue to buy these creepy, unloved dolls with cracked skin and clouded eyes. And it just sort of, we're not sure who came up with the idea, actually, but somehow the idea was born. And
Yeah, I think that it got to a point where either somebody who just had a lot of creepy dolls in her house, or we did something cool with it and turned it into an event. And we did the latter, and it worked out really well.
And when you guys started, did you ever imagine you'd be getting to the point where you're going on tour with it and doing all this stuff?
No. The first time we did it, we did put a lot of work into the first event, but honestly, we thought we'd be lucky if we got 20 people showing up.
Yeah,
to come see it.
Our goal the first year was like, hopefully we get enough money, like enough profit to go out for a drink at the end of the event. And now this is year 7, and everywhere we go, there's huge lineups. We always have to check, like, what's the fire capacity in this venue? And people really, really love it. And so do we.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And this is going to be your first visit to Kingston. What made you guys choose to venture all the way out here?
So the first couple of years was just Peterborough, and then COVID hit. And then once COVID ended, we're like, we want this, like, we want to really like re-enter this with a bang. So we went to Toronto, we went to Prince Edward County, we went to Ottawa. And I don't know, Kingston was just the next sort of largest city within a decent drive of us. And I've got some good friends there who have been bugging me to bring the collection down that way. And yeah, here we are.
Lucky them.
Catherine and Ben explained how their collection has grown to nearly 200 dolls from across Canada, each with its own backstory. And you mentioned there some of the traits you look for when you're searching for dolls or when receiving dolls. I was wondering, from a curator perspective, how do you choose your dolls?
You can go first on this one.
Sure. I'm looking for dolls that I know that nobody else is going to want. So they tend to be older dolls. Like I said, cracked skin, maybe they have like for some reason an extra large forehead because their hair has been pulled out. Cloudy eyes, eyes that are blinking, not in unison. And definitely anything that freaks me out, I'm buying.
And for me, I like the ones that are maybe strange materials. So a lot of the dolls we have are handmade, probably 1800. So they're stuffed with straw. They're made with burlap sacks. Their eyes are buttons that are kind of falling off. And it is really, I just like looking at things and being like, wow, 100 years ago, people thought this was cute. And it is actually horrifying. But I mean, you know, the Great Depression, cholera, there was all kinds of issues in the world, World War I and II. You know, so many people's ideas of what was horrifying was a bit different than they are now. But most of our dolls now, we don't have to look for. Since the very first year we did it, we got an incredible amount of media attention. And since then, people have reached out to us from all over Canada. I think we've received dolls from every province in Canada saying things like, oh, my grandmother passed away. This was her childhood doll. I don't want it in the house because it is horrifying. But I feel guilty getting rid of it. And if I bury it in the backyard, I'm worried it might come back to eat me or something like that. So it's a lot of people who are handing off items that belong to people they loved. And what I really love about a lot of the creepy dolls that we receive is hearing the stories of the dolls themselves or the previous owners of the dolls.
And do both of you have a favorite story or a favorite doll that you'd like to share?
I have a few favorites. Yeah, I'd say one of my favorites is Mortimer. He was the first one that caught my attention at that yard sale. He sort of resembles Jack Nicholson in doll form. He's got this huge forehead and this sort of sneaky grin.
And I don't really like to say I have a favorite because the dolls do listen and we are worried, you know, there's a lot of vanity and jealousy in the dolls, so they might come back to haunt me. But I do love the stories. And so for each doll that goes on display, each doll has an individualized biography that was written by a different Ontario author. So there's little fictional backstories for every single one of our dolls. And some of them are really spooky. Some of them are hilarious. Some of them are just plain weird and funny. But the dolls are great, but the dolls combined with the stories for me is really what really kind of brings them to life.
And it's not just the dolls who have stories to tell. Visitors to the museum tend to leave with a few of their own.
One thing that I really do love about the show, too, is how social it often becomes. So people come and I don't want to say it becomes a party, but people linger because it's just storytelling in a lot of ways. And then every single person that walks through the museum, as they're leaving, we ask them, please vote for your favorite doll. Like, which doll was your favorite? And everybody has one and everybody has put so much thought into it. And then Catherine and I have a running tally of like which doll got the most votes at any given event. And every doll that gets the most votes earns itself a bright red sash that Catherine sews.
Yeah.
So anyone who comes, if they're wondering why some dolls are wearing red sashes, it's those dolls were voted best in show.
For most of the year, the dolls live with Catherine in her home in Peterborough. So far, she and Ben say they've been mostly safe from hauntings.
So the dolls live in my house year round. So there's well over 200 dolls. Some are on display. Some are tucked away in their hiding places like they like to be. And I have not noticed any paranormal experiences, but I think that's mostly because I treat them really well. They're happy in my house. Some of them have real place of honor. And I think if they were unhappy, they would let me know for sure.
And I have not had any paranormal experiences, but when I first moved to Peterborough, the house had a deep freeze in the basement. And it was an old, creepy, you know, 1800s serial killer style basement. And in the deep freeze was a plastic bag. And in the plastic bag was this one doll. And that's Jasmine. Jasmine is quite the creepy doll. And I have no idea why it was in the deep freeze, but I'm sure the previous owner had a reason. Anyway, when I left that house, I went up to the attic and I drew like a weird pentagram on the floor in the attic, and I left a doll in the middle of it for the next person to find. So if they ever go up there, they'll be treated to something.
Yeah, I think Jasmine's so happy in my home because she's our spokesperson. She's the image on our t-shirts.
She's like the mascot.
She's sort of like the unofficial mascot of the doll museum. Yeah, so she loves it.
Ben shared what Kingstonians can expect from their visit.
Well. They can expect more dolls than they've ever seen in their entire lives. Catherine are dressed up as two of the dolls. So the very first year, Catherine is a seamstress as well. And she picked out two of the dolls and made matching outfits for her and I. So we'll look smashing for sure. On the Saturday night, we will also have another living doll who will be working the crowd a little bit. What will be different about this year? So if there are people who are listening who have been before, and we have had people drive to the Peterborough show from Kingston, so you never know. There's always new dolls. And then this year, for the first time, we've created a diorama. And we have bags and bags of very small dolls that don't make it on display. And we've always, you know, felt kind of bad about these dolls that need their moment to shine. And so Catherine, myself, and two friends, Tim in Peterborough and Angie in Ottawa, have been working on a library scene. So it's a library diorama in the world of the creepy dolls. And we are very excited for that to show that off a little bit.
Yeah. We like to add a little something every year.
The museum's newest resident, Stephen, also dropped by to give a preview of what's to come. And will Stephen be joining you as well?
Oh, of course.
Yeah, definitely. I was writing his bio last night.
Would you like to give Kingstonians a little warning about Steven since he's the newcomer?
Well, Steven is a ventriloquist dummy from, I would guess, the 1890s based on the material he's built from. He was the prized possession of a circus performer. And in 1952, the Great Circus Fire, you know, burnt down the circus tent. Every single patron perished in that fire. And the only thing that was found after the fire in the ash was Steven holding a bag of 52 tongues.
Once again, that was Ben and Catherine with the Creepy Doll Museum coming to Kingston this weekend. For brave Kingstonians, the Creepy Doll Museum will be open at the Broom Factory, 305 Rideau Street, on Friday, October 24th from 6:30 to 9:30 p.m. and Saturday, October 25th from 5:30 to 9:30 p.m. To learn more about the collection and their visit, you can check out at Creepy Doll Museum on Instagram. For CFRC News, supported by the Local Journalism Initiative, this has been Christina Laurie.